people born male but who identify as female are winning many competitions.
Why do I have to compete against a male body?
When she realized there was a man inside.
I was in shock. I was scared. And I told him to leave. He would not leave. Had no regard. In a two-week span, four times in that bathroom, I turned around to men and they're naked. Four times. And I reported it to the people in the front. They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
Stay out of the women's locker room. We don't want it.
They've brainwashed these children. This boy comes up and he says, oh, I'm...
It just shows like how brainwashed our school has been.
But this is a school district that has a history and practice of lying to students and lying to parents to believe a fantasy.
Now imagine this. You send your 16-year-old daughter to school, a place that's supposed to be about reading, writing, math, and being in a safe environment. She plays sports with other girls. She does the right thing. Then suddenly, she's told that a man student, will be competing on the girls' team and using the girls' locker room. Has that blown your mind yet? And according to her, this decision didn't just make things uncomfortable. She says it led to repeated sexual harassment, a total loss of privacy, unsafe conditions. And other girls raised the same concerns. They go to the school, they speak up, they ask for help. But instead of protecting them, instead of stepping in, the school ignores their complaints. Are you getting the picture? That's the situation we're going to be talking about right now with the girl Hadil and her attorney Robert Taylor.
It's in Islam, we believe in one God. We don't worship idols, we don't worship people, we love Jesus. We love Moses, we love Abraham, we love Muhammad, we believe they're all prophets of God. We believe that one true God that Jesus worshipped is the same one true God we worship.
Islam has changed, William, in the most amazing ways. Most amazing ways. I'm devastated by what I've seen here. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely devastated. And thank you for hosting this. Thank you for doing this.
They're just looking for a reaction. They're looking for trouble. We're here to educate humanity. And you see, brothers and sisters, what we're up against. But alhamdulillah, we're going to continue striving to get the Dawah Center, the educational center, open so we can go ahead and educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life. We need your support right now. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. How are you guys?
Alaikum salam. I'm fine, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Thank you guys for joining us. So I have Hadil and the attorney Robert Taylor.
Tyler, thank you.
How you doing, Mr. Tyler? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having us on.
All right. So I just painted a picture. Is this accurate? Did you hear the picture that I painted?
Yeah,
you did.
Did I get anything wrong?
No. Actually, we were never told that there would be a biological male team. He just appeared.
He just appeared. Okay, you guys fill in the blanks now. Tell us how all this corresponded, how things... So you're going to school, your parents send you to school, reading, writing, math, get some playtime, some PEN, you're playing with other girls, and then all of a sudden, a man shows up, and he's on the team. Mm-hmm. Take it from there. What was your first reaction?
Well, I've known this biological male since eighth grade, and we all knew he was a male back then. But you could tell like he was dying his hair, like he was starting to transition, I'd say. And then my freshman year, I joined track, and he was on the team. It was both our first year, and then our sophomore year, we both started volleyball, and we both ended up being on varsity that year. But, you know, none of the school never discussed, like, this is a biological male. He will be in the locker room, you know? Like, a bunch of girls, I'd say, were, like, concerned about the issue. And then the school never said anything. And then as I got older, like, I raised my concerns. And I said, like, I don't feel comfortable changing in the locker room. Like, what can you do for me? And they were like, oh, you can change in the office. And I'm like... and then I raised a point. I was like, what if all the girls in the locker room don't feel comfortable changing with a biological male? They're like, oh, well, I guess we'd have to accommodate to all of you. And then things just kept getting worse. And it was just like very frustrating because, you know, you're supposed to protect both sides. And I'd have multiple conversations with the principal. She'd be like, I'm doing my best to protect both of you. But I never felt like I got that protection that she said she would give me.
Mm-hmm. So then how long was this transpiring before you decided to take legal action?
It wasn't until my senior year, which is this year. September 4th was the day that I stepped down from our volleyball game with my best friend, Alyssa McPherson. We stepped down and we texted our coach. We said, we don't feel comfortable changing in the locker room or sharing the court with a biological male. And we won't play our season until, like, we're still part of the team, but we will not be playing unless the biological male isn't on our team, you know, because it's not fair. You can't deny the fact that biological males have advantages over females.
Yeah, we've seen that. Did you wanted to say something, Robert?
No. Adil is speaking great. Please go.
I mean, we've seen this come up over and over again where you have biological males jump into the sport and they're winning first place. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. because, were you feeling, for some time, you guys are playing together. What sport is that again?
Volleyball we're playing together, and track we're jumping against each other because we do the same events in track.
So both.
Mm-hmm.
So can you see the differences now? Obviously, like, just let's start from there. Like, just from the point of the game, from volleyball mm-hmm. into track. Are you seeing? Are the other girls seeing the advantages now?
Yes, of course. A lot of people have been seeing it from the beginning, and a lot of people have been a lot more vocal, especially during track, because he ended up winning CAF state for a couple events. So a lot of people were protesting, but of course nothing happened. And I didn't start vocalizing until my senior year because I knew if I said something earlier, like, a lot of the girls would shun me and like stop talking to me, and that's exactly what happened. But when you get older, you realize you don't need all those fake friends, and I'm going to be fine without them anyway. So I'm just glad I took the right stand, and I stood with my Islamic morals, and I'm just doing the right thing.
But you also have... Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, let me add a little bit here, if you don't mind, too. A little background that I think is really important for the context, and that is that when Hadil and Alyssa... when they were going through this, they're with this biological boy who is pretending to be a girl, and the school district is supporting this fantasy. And not only are they supporting this boy's fantasy, they're trying to get all of the other students to play in this fantasy. They're trying to get them to live in this fantasy and act as though this fantasy is true. And to such a degree that they've brainwashed these children to believe a fantasy. And then as these kids get older and older, and here's what happened. Even Hadil and Alyssa were struggling as freshmen, sophomore, junior, senior. They're struggling because internally there's something wrong here. And when we first met with Alyssa and Hadil, they're saying, we know there's something wrong with this, but they didn't have anybody to be able to come beside them and support them to say, this is wrong, we can do something about it. And so they finally, really, as they are adults now, they are adults that are now standing and being able to say, we know what is right and what is wrong. And we're going to, we recognize that there's fantasy and there's truth. And it especially becomes apparent when the boy hits puberty and they're able to see that this boy through high school develops muscles, he develops strength, he grows. And one of the things that they told me, which is really interesting, is how they were on par with him athletically when they were younger. But then as they got older, he excelled. He just, you know, it was an exponential curve in terms of his abilities and his strength, to the degree that they're afraid to play against him. And and he's hitting the ball. He's spiking the ball. Alyssa gets hit. She's a small girl. She's a bolero, where she's digging the ball out on the other side. She gets hit in the face on a spike, and it hurts, you know. And this is coming from a boy who can really hit the ball really hard. And so this is where things really begin to change. And this fantasy, these girls begin to see, this is not real. And this is where the school district really is. It's this fantasy is becoming dangerous, and this is where I think folks are really beginning to recognize across this nation, thanks to Adil and the willingness to stand up and say, no more. We can't allow this to continue.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the harassment that was happening, sexual harassment. Can you go ahead and outline how did that, I mean, if this is a biological male, but he's saying that he's a woman now and he would be not interested in women, but there's some harassment happening because he's still interested in women because that's how God made us. So what's happening with that?
Can I interject?
That's a very uncomfortable situation that you put the girl in. Now, in this situation that you're supposed to be in a safe environment in an all-girls locker room, but now we're playing, you know, with her safety.
Eddie, because of the litigation and where we sit in it, I'd like to respond on her behalf at this point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because it's a sensitive situation and what we've addressed in the complaint, we've identified a few things that obviously – there's the privacy issue, which is it's very sensitive, and you know, you're in a locker room, anything of that nature it's harassing to the girls. But what's also important is the fact that there's, as alleged in the complaint, this boy made statements at. I wish I had the complaint. I could state it verbatim what it said, but made a statement to the effect of, you know, the girls were at a house and it was a teen party or something like that, and some of the girls were talking about their period and they were I think something along the lines of, you know, it was painful or whatever, and this boy comes up and he says, it's mockery when he kind of says something to the effect, oh, I'm having a period and it's so painful, something like that. And he's living this fantasy, but he has no idea what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And when you think about girls who are living and going through a true physical, painful experience, but they live through it and they work through it. And it is literally physically a disadvantage that they live with and work through as an athlete. It's not fair that they have to compete with that, whereas a boy, they don't have that. And he's on the same team, yet he's mocking them. He may actually believe that he has something like that. You know, he may be sick in the head, feeling like, oh yeah, I've got that. It's ridiculous. And so that's harassment. You know, that in and of itself alone is harassing to these girls.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, it's interesting because obviously, you know, you try to make something that's not normal, normal, and you talk about a fantasy. So someone's living a fantasy and now they got everybody to kind of play this out step by step. How do you think, you know, usually you think that as soon as a man steps into the woman's locker room, that everybody at the same time is like, they're appalled. You know, they're all, how many girls are on the team? What do you have, like 10, 20, 30? How many girls are all together on the team?
Well, on the varsity team, ranges from like 13 to 15, but it's the whole program, and there's like 20 girls on like JV and freshmen. Yeah, and we even had like sophomore. So it's like 80 people.
Now, what's kind of concerning is that you have some of the girls you were concerned about them being against you because you were speaking out.
Yeah, I realized, like, as I got older, especially like my senior year, like, I don't need everyone to like me. Like, I know I'm a good person. I have good beliefs and morals, and I'll stand by them. And I realized, like, if they don't align with my morals, then I don't need to be friends with them anyways. And they can say whatever they want and disrespect me and spread lies on my name. But I know who I am, and I know what I'm going for is the truth. And even some of the girls, like, no, it's not right, but they don't want to speak up either. So it just shows, like, how brainwashed our school has been and how scared they are to step up against this biological male, because they know they will not be protected against him. And, you know, that's what happened to me, and I'm here, and I'm doing fine. So I'm just glad for everyone that's helped me and supported me in this situation.
I think that's really, really important that other people see this message, that other girls who initially would know that their instinct, their first reaction is like, no, this is not right. But then everyone's silent, and now nobody wants to rock the boat, but you're the brave soul and others. There's some other girls who are a part of this, correct?
Mm-hmm. My best friend, Alyssa McPherson, and then her older sister, who was also our former team.
There's total three in the lawsuit, is that correct?
Yes.
So you have three brave souls, so it can show that you're not just like the herd, because the herd is going one way and you're following doesn't mean you're right. But it took just three brave souls to speak up, and hopefully you can make a change. Where do you see this going now? Where is this the beginning of the litigation? What's happening now? Are you totally off the team? Is he still on the team? Where is this headed right now?
Well, the season is over, so my senior volleyball season came crashing to an end on September 4th when I decided to step down because I didn't support biological male on the women's team. And that's the end of my volleyball career, and I will no longer be playing track in the spring because I will be graduating early. So that's the end of my sports career as of now, but I hope this helps change for the future for the other girls that will be affected, not just by this specific person, but by anyone who identifies as transgender and who has this delusion of being something that they're not. So I hope, like, when my nieces are older, that they don't have to go through this, because it was an emotional roller coaster. And I just hope that it helps other girls either speak up or it helps change the laws where this isn't okay.
Yes, absolutely. Did you want to comment, Robert?
Yeah, Eddie, I think that, you know, our goal is to take this case and try to set some legal precedent. We're challenging Title IX. There's a case at the U.S. Supreme Court that might provide some guidance on the case. The Ninth Circuit has been not favorable on these issues. We'll see what happens. I'd like to point out that this is at Harupa School District in Riverside County, California. Harupa School District is the same school district we sued on behalf of a teacher who said, I'm not going to use false pronouns. I'm not going to lie to students. I'm not going to lie to their parents. I'm not going to lie to myself by using a false pronoun for students who claim to be something they're not. We sued. We got a big settlement.
We lost you there. You dropped.
Oh, I apologize.
You know where you left off?
Yeah.
You were talking about setting a precedent. Go ahead.
You know, it's our plan is to take this case as far as we can in the federal courts with the hope of setting legal precedent. This is the same school district we previously sued on behalf of a teacher who was told that she had to use false pronouns with students. In other words, if a student said they were a boy and it was really a girl, that she had to use a fake pronoun. She said, I'm not going to lie to the student. I'm not going to lie to their parents. I'm not going to lie to myself. And And we prevailed in that litigation. They settled with us. But this is a school district that has a history and practice of lying to students and lying to parents and creating fantasies that they believe that is appropriate for students to live out. And it's disgusting and sad. And so, why does this happen? Why are we in this situation? It's because of laws in California that have been passed. California is a one-party Democrat state that controls. And, it is just the reality. And so we're stuck with it. We've got to fight back and we've got to challenge it.
What was your reaction, your parents' reaction, when they first found out about this?
As Muslims, we know this isn't right. It's not okay. Of course, my mom is never going to be disrespectful, but she's like, that's a male. Like, why is he on the woman's team? It's not okay. Like, you can see how hard he hits. Even she was like surprised. She was like, dang, he's good. And I'm like, yeah, he's good, but he is a guy on a girls' volleyball team where the volleyball net is like 7 inches shorter than the men's. So obviously there's going to be that advantage there. And like, I also had a cousin who played a track season against me and the biological male like 2 seasons ago. And she was like, if that's a biological male, like, why is he playing against other women? It's not fair. And she didn't do the same events as him. But, everyone else notices it, but no one wants to speak up. And it's just frustrating that, like, we can't get the help that we need because I feel like our district has genuinely failed us. So everyone that I've told, like, they're all disappointed within school and, like, they know that it's not right. So it's not something that's hard to see.
Robert, is this something that is, what you were just describing, is primarily in California, or are we seeing this in other states?
You know, we're seeing this in other states, but I've been a lawyer handling primarily religious liberty oriented cases that unfortunately has translated into parental rights and other related type cases across the country. But what happens is California has been the epicenter. This started in 2007 when California passed the first statewide law to create and to redefine the definition of sex. And in 2007, California redefined the word sex to say for public schools that sex can be whatever you claim to be. And we filed a lawsuit way back then. We got thrown out of court. Nobody, I threatened everyone. I said, this is what is going to happen. And it's going to get exported to the rest of the country. Why? Because California has the most number of students, California, New York. The school books are written to pacify California and New York. The publishers, they don't write for Maine. They don't write for Iowa. They write for California and New York. So the what happens in California gets exported to the rest of the country, particularly as it relates to schools. And so this is why we have to fight in the major populations, the major populated states. And so it's not unique to California, but it all starts here. And, unfortunately, we've created a monster. And unfortunately, in California, those people of faith we have a huge voice in California. Let me point something out. California, there was a Pew Research study that said if every person that attends I think the number winds up being 31% of the population in California attends a religious service every week. 31% of 22 million people. Well, if we took every if we took 31% and you multiply that out for the total population, the number comes in at somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 point something million people. If all 6 point some million of those people went out and voted, we could actually get, we could entirely shift the state to have a conservative minded state that would elect people who care about traditional family values, who don't want boys playing on girls' volleyball teams, who don't want this radical leftist LGBTQ agenda that is invading our schools and trying to brainwash all of our kids. And so, you know, it's a great threat to our country and to our families. And we could do something about it. We just got to, you know, frankly, people of faith have to step up and do something.
Tell me, what can people do? People of faith, people who know this is not right, but they're feeling like they're in a vulnerable situation. Now, they're watching this program, and they might be in another state, another part of California, and the exact same thing is happening, but they just feel like, okay, what can I do? Like, this is, they've normalized it. Do they have to accept it?
No, I mean, there's a, okay, well, let's talk a few things. I can give you a couple ideas. One, they can, if, in your scenario, you could get, if they're in California in particular, or if they're in a state where they allow signature gathering, there's a process called, or excuse me, not signature gathering, but what you call ballot gathering. They can collect ballots, but encourage the congregation to vote for candidates who support real family values, not leftist LGBTQ agenda that's going to go against what your faith believes in. And that would be family values. And you know, a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. And elect candidates who really believe that, and get those ballots and cast them. And quite frankly, more often than not, it's not the Democrat Party. I hate to say it. It used to be, but it's not anymore. And I don't know what your thought is on that, but I'll tell you, in California, it's not. It may be different in other states, but it's not here. In the other thing that you can do is you can have. You can call organizations like ours. We take on cases around the country. If we do work pro bono, and if it's a similar case like we have with Hadil, or it's a religious liberty case, we'll consider it and take on cases. And we can be reached. I'll just give our website. It's faith-freedom.com. And it's www.faith-freedom.com. It's a dash faith-freedom.com, and there's a place where you can click on to contact us, and you can share your story, and we'll consider what you have, what your case is, and maybe it's something that we can help you with. And those are two ways of going about. Don't just sit back and do nothing. Get involved.
So right now, if you're another Hadil, and you got a biological male coming into your locker room, what should you do right now?
Call us.
Call you right
call
now.
Call us, email us. Yeah.
You don't have to
say. You know, I'll give you our number. Yeah, I'll give you our number too. It's 888-588-6888. And, you know, Or go to our website. That might be best. But it's www.faith-freedom.com.
Yeah.
And you can contact us. And if we have the resources to be able to help you, I mean, we're a nonprofit organization raising money to be able to take these kinds of cases. And Lord willing, we have funds to be able to do it. Resources that for us, it's all about, you know, trying to be able to generate enough resources to be able to keep funded to be able to take on these cases. So we are always appreciative of donations too. So
I like what you just said. You just said, inshallah.
Yeah, I was thinking that in my head. I was like, you said inshallah.
You said God willing, Lord willing. See? Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you both. Thank you for being on. Thank you for being a brave soul, for standing up. And hopefully this sets a precedence, and much good can come from this, to change these laws and protect women like her, young ladies like her, and from being in these really unsafe situations.
Thanks for covering the story.
Yeah, and thank you for taking this case on.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.